for Melbourne Airport parking. Now from under $10 a day. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Discover the best deals with Hello World Travel, the travel professionals. Visit helloworld.com.au today. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Yeah, let's keep an eye on the clock into the final 20 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge.
Whoa!
On his shoulder. 140. 140. The unofficial
line. There's his wife.
Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 159.40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting stride for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavour.
Well, nicely said. Nice little wrap-up there. 1 hour, 59 minutes, 40 seconds. We can't get our head around it. We've never run a marathon. Whisper, you and I, a man that has, Commonwealth Games gold medalist, one of Australia's greatest long-distance runners, Steve Monteghetti, has been good enough to join us. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, boys. How are you going?
Well, going well. I'm getting tired just thinking about that. What did you make of it all?
I was certainly glued to the live stream, watching it all unfold. And he's a freak, obviously, and I think we all know he's the greatest male marathon runner of all time. And to just miss a couple of years ago, I thought it was all set up and in place for him to get under, but he did it with such ease. It was amazing how relaxed and comfortable he looked. So phenomenal. I didn't think it happened in my lifetime that we'd see someone run under 2 hours. And whilst it's not official, it's still pretty damn good.
Does it lose anything in the fact that there were pacemakers and, we saw the lines on the ground in front of the pace car out the front? Does that take anything away from the achievement?
Oh, yeah, of course it does. It's a time trial. There's only one guy there. He's not racing. He doesn't think he's not going to get beaten in the race. He's always set up to win. And now he holds the world record, 2:1:39. Now, that's what he ran in a race. And this is, you've got to separate this from that. And, overnight we've seen the women's world record broken in a race. And there's always a bit of controversy with the women because they're in a mixed race. So they're running with men as well. But no denying you've still got to be able to have the legs to run under 2 hours. And that's what we saw on the weekend. So incredible, 2 minutes 50. Knocking over 42 k's back to back in 2:50 is incredible.
What sort of time difference are we talking, Steve? If you were given the same opportunity when you were at your peak, what do you think you might have been able to shave off your best time?
Well, that's a great question, Nick. And the world record was about 1:30 quicker than what I ran at the time. And I would think you talk about these 4%ers, the Nike shoes. Well, they say they take 4%, and I only really needed about not even 1%. So, you think, but then everyone would be wearing them. And so you've got to put it into perspective. If everyone has the equal advantage of being paced, of having the laser, then everyone would run probably a couple of minutes quicker. And that's what Eliud ran, that 1:59.40, which is 2 minutes quicker than his official world record. So I'm saying it's worth 2 minutes because practically that's what he's running in a real race.
Yep.
Hey, Steve, it's been described as historic as the moon landing. How would you describe it?
I don't think it's quite as historic as that. But it's just, for me, the purity of marathon running is, you put your shoes on and away you go. And it's really, it's pretty pure, let's be honest. You don't really, it's not a lot of equipment and stuff to use. So I think that's the incredible thing that we realise that a human being is running so fast. And to break that 2 hours, as I say, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime. So it's just incredible to think that in my sport and the awareness and people's recognition of distance running now is incredible. And it's raising everyone's sight. And as I say, who would put limits on anything? If you had told me when I was running, someone in another, whatever it is, 30 years is going to run under 2 hours, I'd just laugh at you. So it's incredible what we've been able to do in that time.
What about the course itself? Was it kind to a marathon?
Oh, yeah. They actually paid to have the road repaved with like a smooth bitumen, and it was cambered on the end, so it was an up and back circuit, but it wasn't like you did a turn on a hairpin. It was actually it was cambered, and there were actually lanes on the ends that Eliud had to run within the lanes, because obviously if you shortcut a turn, like on a running track, if you're in lane 8 and you run on lane 2, it's shorter. So he had to run within the lanes to make it legal on those turns. And they banked it so that he wouldn't lose any momentum. And, you know, so, and there were trees on the side. It was picked in Vienna because the weather was always going to be good. You know, it was perfect weather, no wind. You need all of those things in your favour. And that's, you know, why city marathons now become flat and fast for that exact reason, so people can run fast.
We were talking recently the World Cup event and the fact that the marathon had been run, I think, in temperatures of 30-plus degrees. How tough is that, Steve?
Well, it's a completely different event. Absolutely, completely different. And it's almost survival. And you talk about, you know, human endeavour. Well, the human body's not really meant to run marathons. You know, you run out of glycogen. You throw in then the heat factor where you are putting your body under so much stress, then, yeah, it's just a completely different event. And that's where it's almost become separate now, something like an Olympic Games in Tokyo next year, which will be really hot. So Eliud Kipchoge will go there, but it'll be a completely different running event because you have to deal with the distance, the heat, as well as the opposition.
So is that almost impossible to do? Now that he's run that race and he knows what he's actually capable of internally, is it impossible just to completely compartmentalise that and shut out the opposition next time he comes to race? Or is just the sheer nature of the fact that there are people around you means you engage in a race?
Oh, he will have a different perspective in a race, but I tell you, everyone else will be running off him. He now, he's at a level where he's so good that everyone else just hangs on and keeps running with him for as long as they can. I mean, they got close to him in London this year when he broke the world record in Berlin. He was by himself, but in London, he had a race, a couple of Ethiopians stuck it to him, but he got away and still won. So psychologically has such an advantage now. And for him, he knows he's run so much quicker than anybody else. He enters a race thinking it's his to lose rather than for other people to win.
And pardon my ignorance, but well, how does a marathon break down? So would your first 10Ks be, say, faster or slower than the last 10Ks?
It is exactly the same. And might I say, our four Australians who were pacing on the weekend did a fantastic job. They were clicking off 2 minute 50 kilometres just ad infinitum. They were just doing it one after. That's what that laser was doing. If they sat on, they didn't have to think. They didn't have to look at their watches. They just sat with that laser, and you run to run your best marathon. You run even pace the whole way. And looks like we're just jogging when the gun goes, but they're straight into pace and they're setting that pace for the whole race. And it's often the winner is the person who slows down the least.
One of those pacemakers, a young fella from Altona, we're being told. Jack Raynor, is he one of them?
Yeah, Jack Raynor. Yep, that's right. One of the up-and-coming stars of Australian distance running. He debuted in London last year and ran just over 2:11. Brett Robinson ran 2:11 there. Patrick Tiernan and our own Stewie McSwain, who's going really well in middle distance and distance running, and went to school here in Ballarat. He's the mayor of King Island. He's the king of King Island down in off Tassie. So some great local people helping out, and they did a great job. You know, you need those places to be on the, and they had to move in and out. It was quite technical to get them to swap over there. I think there were six pace groups of about seven athletes, so they were all there doing the business.
And Steve, before we let you go, obviously it's an Olympic year next year. Which names should we be looking at in terms of those that may put up performances that we're going to be talking about this time next year?
Well, certainly from our Australian perspective, those two guys, and then Sinead Diver, Ali Pashley, and Lisa Waitman ran Chicago Marathon overnight in that, where the women's world record was broken or smashed by Bridget Koska, which is amazing. Paula Rackley's record we thought might never be broken. So it's been a massive weekend in running, and so the girls are doing a great job. So look out for the women next year in Tokyo. And in the men, obviously, you know, Kipchoge and now Koska will go in as raging favourites.
It was a great run, Mono, but would he have beaten Jimmy Steins up Mount Buninyong? That's what I would like to know.
That's right. Exactly. No chance. What a great man he was.
He was. So great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the chat.
Steve. Thanks, Steve. See ya.